Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
Welcome to Webcology here on WMR.FM. It's the 6th of February, 2025. It feels like 5 years after the last show we recorded, which was just a week ago. But these days, a day seems to go by in an entire week. Or a week seems to go by in an entire day. I have trouble keeping up with those pithy statements, given the number of pithy statements that are being thrown around just about everywhere. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls.
Hi, everybody. Sorry, I was on mute. You think I learned not to do that?
This is ostensibly a very long-term podcast about digital marketing and about search, the fantastic, extraordinary, mind-bending world of search engine optimization, understanding how algorithmic search engines work or how crawl-based search engines work. It's a show about artificial intelligence, the dangers and wonders of artificial intelligence. And that's what we do. That's what Christine and I have done for years. It's what me and Dave Davies did for years. It's what Webcology has been about for 18 years. And now we're talking about politics a lot because politics has worked its way from the tech industry, the industry that we ourselves at this show helped build. And we literally helped build it because we've been here almost since day one. Almost since day one. There was actually about a decade that happened before we showed up, but I digress.
You have one of the, because I started later, you have one of the longest, like in the, I think, top 10 continually running podcasts online of all podcasts.
Yeah, well, we do. It's Webcology, and this is a whole family. I mean, there's listeners listening who've been listening since the beginning. And again, my apology to everybody, to you yourself, Christine, because this shouldn't transcend into the world of political. This is a marketing show. This is a show about helping people do better in their careers and in their businesses, helping our clients do better. But this is also a show about the environment that we work in, which is why we called it Webcology. That way we could talk about how things work together. And politics has intruded its way into how things work together. It's pretty unfortunate.
It is. Jim and I do our best to cover these things neutrally, but there has been a sudden, extreme intermixing between what we do, what we cover, and politics. It's not even politics, it's more than that, but it's not like this is a political show, but when we find out that on today's show, that DeepSeek is sending your information to the Chinese military, that's got to be reported. There's a search function that's causing it to look like all these immigration rates are going on, but are not. But that's got to be covered. So we have a lot we have to cover now that crosses into what we do for a living. And we can't pretend it doesn't, or we wouldn't be covering the stories properly. But we try to do it fair. And we try to make sure we, if we have a bias, we tell you.
Yeah, and one bias, and this is really important, we strongly believe in democracy.
Yes,
we believe in human rights, we believe in human dignity, and we believe in strengthening business ties to everybody in our audience, regardless of who is what. It doesn't matter. It matters that you want to come and learn about search and do good business and do honest business and, make the world a better place by doing good business together. Because, oh my goodness, does good business make the world a better place? It really does.
Exactly. If you rewarded that more, we'd have better people running the world.
So the first story that we're going to have, the first series of stories that we're going to have to cover is called Musk and the Data Coup. Because there's currently a coup d'etat happening in America, in the United States of America. And that's an incredible, crazy, bizarre thing to say, but it's actually really happening. We got to call it what it is. This is a fascist coup taking place as we record this episode. So
Yes,
currently,
and
sorry,
go ahead.
Christine.
I just say, let me just throw in a definition of coup so people know this is like the actual definition of coup, not like a, rhetoric. It's a silent, violent, unlawful seizure of power from government. Or basically, yeah, that's so it's that simple. And that is what is
Yeah.
going on with Elon Musk. Go ahead.
So Elon Musk and the completely unchartered Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, is sending persons without security clearance into incredibly sensitive systems, the Treasury Department, Veterans Affairs, USAID, Bureau of Fiscal Services, and more. Apparently, they're going in and creating backdoors in the system so that the databases can be downloaded. And rumor has it that Musk is using data about all American citizens, every American citizen, to train a specialized Grok AI system. Now,
And
regardless of
so
the
it's,
veracity of those rumors,
yes.
which, if true, should be beyond terrifying,
Yes, because
that.
let me talk, say something, interject real quick. What goes into a large language model cannot come out of it, meaning once they train on it, your information is in there unless the model is destroyed. So they have no way to like go in and say, I'm going to take out Jim's information now. There's no way to do that.
So again, regardless of whether that's actually happening or not, and if it is happening,
There are good reports that it is, yeah.
that's so far past terrifying, I don't even know if I have a word for it, that he's accessing and working with these essential systems without accountability and without oversight, that he has 20 somethings in there writing back doors into Treasury, for goodness sake.
Yeah, so let's,
Fiscal
yeah, go ahead.
services that pays the bills. I mean,
Yeah, so,
he's got backdoors writing into the system that cuts the checks.
yeah, so this is this, so people understand the severity because it's like, this isn't like your HR group, right? Where it's like, we go ahead and here's how we're going to pay you this week. This is the Treasury. This means all the money the US has and where it goes. And there's like three people with the clearance and access. And what he did was go into the office, barricade them out of it, put sofas in front of the door, and decided him and the teenagers, because one's like 16 or something, 17,
I think he
they're
goes by the
gonna.
name, honest to God, I think he goes by the name Big Dick.
And by
I'm
the
not
way,
kidding. I'm not kidding. I read that.
if this podcast ever gets to those kids, you are the fall people. You will go to jail. This is illegal, so don't be surprised. So this is illegal. He is not an official government anything. Now I think today Trump made him something, but as of the time this was occurring over the weekend, he's not a government official. He doesn't have an official government office. The DOGE, whatever, is not official in any way. So he's just a private citizen going in and doing this. So that's illegal on so many levels.
By the way, if this tape goes to any current members of the FBI, I'll have fries with that. Which is really uncool, because you guys are getting hard done by people who
Yeah.
haven't a clue what you actually do. But again,
Yeah.
if you do hear this, please, I'll have fries with that.
I don't know what that means, but I'll trust you.
It means they're unemployed.
Oh, they're
There's
unemployed.
so many of them
Yeah.
are just losing their jobs, and
Yeah.
it's again, it's a sweep of the system.
So what Musk has been doing, and the reason it's being called a coup, is that he's going into different departments, like Jim mentioned, and he's barreling his way in. And he's telling the people to get out. He's using, in some cases, police. I don't know
Violence.
how that. Well, he hasn't like.
He's using police
Yeah,
officers and
please.
very large,
Which.
burly men, which is the implicit
Yeah.
threat of I'm going to crack your head open. And if he's not using that, he's using orders from the DOJ, not warrants, but simply an order that says if you resist this guy, you're going to get investigated. That too is a threat of violence.
Yeah, it's just very weird. It doesn't make any sense to me. Why they're doing that? Like, because I don't even know if these are official police anything, right?
Because it
But
gets you through the door. That's why. I mean,
it gets you through.
you know how most hacks are just like engineering
Yeah,
on people's fears.
very true. Very,
This
very
is
true.
just this is I mean, this is just a hack, but the scale of it is unbelievable. We're talking the United States of America.
So even though the courts have told them like they can't do this, and the courts have told them like they turned off USAID, I hate to say, I don't know if it's pronounced USAID. I think it's just
USAID.
US. Is it okay? So for those who don't know, real quick, USAID or USAID does things like give food to in places where people will starve within days, weeks. It helps prevent the spread of HIV. They cut off funding. He did. Musk went in and just cut off funding in the machine, the computers, to so a fund that helps fund pregnant women from passing HIV to their babies. There's an Ebola outbreak in Africa right now. We're usually there with resources through USAID and.
To make it a little bit faster, USAID is all the monies that America spends externally on projects that are not related to its
Well,
military.
it's very small. No, that sounds very big. It's a very small amount of money.
It's a
It's one
huge,
more
it's an
thousand.
extraordinary amount of money relative to what people in Africa currently have for many of these
Well, yes,
problems.
that's true, but on our budget, this is a very tiny bit of money. It's very small. It's like 50 billion. So the what they do is they go do all these things. So what Musk has done is gone through this system and started shutting things off. In the United States, some people don't have Head Start money. So they're gonna have to close the kindergartens. So he's just in the computer system, the financial system of the United States, the Treasury, just shutting things off based on what he or the president or whoever else has told him to do. And he's doing it by brute force, basically, on human systems. Like if you went and did password cracking on a computer.
Hence the fear and the use of the phrase a coup. So this is happening. It's happening in our information systems. Over at X, if you try to talk about it, you will be banned and censored. You will be shut down. Similarly, over at Reddit, if you get really mad at what they're doing over at X and say you can't have any X links on our subreddit, Musk might get your subreddit shut down by saying you're breaking the law. I thought that was pretty spectacular. So M Musk
Yeah.
has had the often sarcastic and sometimes outright racist White People of Twitter subreddit banned at Reddit. A because they named some of those kids who were going into the government offices and seizing your personal data. And also because they and hundreds of other subreddits have banned the use of links from the X social media.
Yeah, and the thing is that he now has access to everything about you that the federal government has, right? So, and he's running systems. We don't know 100% which systems, but we do believe, I've heard it credibly reported, that Grok is a version of Grok is being run on it and large language models. That means that information is there until it's destroyed. And
I've heard.
we don't know what else they're doing with the kids who are on these systems, doing illegal things because these kids have no clearance. So Trump has, I'm sorry. Musk has some clearance. He doesn't have clearance for everything that he's in, but he has some clearance. But in this case, these kids have no clearance. So,
You know what? I kind of get a sense that just doesn't matter anymore. And that's kind of incredible. So, to be clear, neither Christine or I can prove, and I don't think anybody right now can prove that your information is being run through a Grok AI, but we've both heard it from several different sources that are quite reliable and they're independent of each other. There's not a lot of other tests for whether you say this is happening or law or not, except we cannot cite a written source because there is none.
they haven't been able to prove it, yeah, but they're pretty sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, your
So,
information is being taken by Musk, so well done to that.
the next thing that's part of the data coup actually doesn't have a lot to do with U.S. government data. The Heritage Foundation is coming after Wikipedia. Heritage Foundation is trying to go after editors at Wikipedia who wrote cr criticism of or wrote about the Israeli war. On Palestine, on Gaza, for the last 18 months. saying that the Wikipedia coverage of the war is often anti-Semitic. Now, the Heritage Foundation is a far right-wing think tank. A lot of Project 2025 came out of Heritage Foundation thinking. They're now going after Wikipedia. There is nothing to, I don't know, I mean, I'm putting my plea in here saying Wikipedia is one of the last bastions of human-edited factual information, and we desperately need a baseline for what is fact and, what isn't. And Wikipedia is a pretty damn good one, and it's under threat right now, and I swear to goodness, it is the last bastion of the internet we were trying to create when we started creating this whole damn thing. Defend it at all costs.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to go after. At least we know that the guy who runs it has been pretty steadfast about never letting it be compromised.
Jimmy, I've
So.
met Jimmy Wales a couple times. He's I believe him. He doesn't want it to be compromised, and it's not a weird thing to go after at all. You need to have absolute control of information. They who control how people perceive the world literally control the world. That's why controlling social media is so very important, and why the disinformation campaigns in social media have been so incredibly effective. If you control how people think about stuff, you control what they think about stuff.
Sure, that's why they have the massive bot and fake account armies.
Yeah. And so
Yeah.
Wikipedia is the greatest threat to that currently exists on the web. It is human edited, and the editors at Wikipedia are fastidious. They will go in and make 20 changes in a day just to be sure the punctuation's correct, much less the fact that it's factually correct. You know what I mean? Like they're obsessed with protecting your right to factual information.
Yeah, and if anyone ever just tried to get like a name and a profile into Wikipedia, we know how hard it is. So that's a good thing because as many times as we've complained about that, it looks like it's a pretty good thing that they do that. Yeah, it's an all-out assault. And I think we should mention something real quick. If anybody is feeling overwhelmed by the amount of information that's coming at you all the time right now, this is a psychological tactic called shock and awe. And shock and awe is meant to immobilize you, make you feel overwhelmed, even perhaps depressed or despondent about the things that matter to you. So remember, there's a lot of noise and then there's signal. Signal are real things that can happen. And noise is the 200 executive orders issued over the last like week. So, and most of those will be shot down by the courts, but pay attention to the ones where they're not. But try
Also,
not to let it get to you that way.
please remember, like SEO, this is a marathon, not a sprint, and you're not able to take care of all issues at the same time. Set out a series of gyra tickets with your priorities and hit your priorities first. Don't worry about all the issues. You're going to drive yourself mad if you worry about all the issues all the time. Take time for yourself. Take weekends off. Relax a little bit. If you're really, really, really concerned and you're overwhelmed about the news, break it up into small itty bitty pieces, just like you would a tech problem. And again, this is like SEO. It's a long game, not a short one.
Yeah.
Okay, last,
Oh.
I think, American-based political story. This is a Google story, interestingly. We've been hearing a lot of reports. It's been really scary and overwhelming about massive immigration rates, about citywide crackdowns, and it's been happening. And over a lot of those rates that we've been hearing about, especially rates that we've been seeing appearing on in Google search results, actually happened years ago. Somebody in the probably in the orbit of Doge, efficiently using government resources or something, is promoting old press releases from Department of Immigration.
But how they're doing it is interesting because I think it's funny for SEOs. Google has told us timestamps aren't that important. We don't really use them that much. All they did was change the timestamp on all these articles on in the ICE website. Also, the lawyer who's looking into this, she didn't find it happened on any other website or any other articles, just these ones. So it does look intentional, not accidental, like when they moved pages or something. So yeah, so they all have a new timestamp. But Google put them all to the top of search, which is just fascinating since they've been telling us timestamps don't matter that much. So apparently, have fun, SEOs.
Well, indeed.
But,
So you really want to chase that last mod date in the site map? This might be a chance to experiment.
Oh, this one even has, this is on the page. This is the
Well,
page spec.
your update,
Yeah.
indeed, it's the last mod that Google said that they would actually check into, that they pay a lot of attention to. You update your page, you it last mods the last mod should update in the XML sitemap, and Bob's your uncle. Google's going to be checking that page, and in this case, making it look as if something that happened in 2018 was happening in 2025. Now, that's not to say that there isn't ICE raids happening,
So our ice
and
raids, yes, definitely.
but it is a tactic used to make the system look so big and so oppressive and so impossible to resist.
And it also buries the news stories. So you don't see those as much. They're not at the top of every news feed. So it has a factor of doing both. So yeah.
At the top of our news feed last week was amazement at how DeepSeek was deep sixing the ambitions of the AI tech oligarchs in the United States. If you get big enough, people are really going to take a look at you. So DeepSeek has some lines in its code that clearly feed information back to companies that are associated with the People's Republic of China. Ivan Zarani, the CEO of FiRoot Security in Toronto, Ontario, used AI software to decrypt portions of DeepSeek's code. He found what he says is intentionally hidden programming that sends user data to the website cmpassport.com, which is an online registry for China Mobile, a telecommunications company owned and operated by the Chinese government, which is banned in the US in 2019 due to concerns that, well, it gave unauthorized access to customer data to the Chinese government, and delisted from the New York Stock Exchange in 2021.
Yeah, and Passport actually sends data to the Chinese military as well. Yeah, so your data literally, if you're using, now we don't know about the host, the self-hosted version, because that's, I've heard reports on both sides that nothing's being sent and something's being sent, and I haven't seen anything conclusionary. But as far as the what they're sending out from your, if you go use their hosted version, you are sending your information and anything you put in there and anything on the device you're using, because they look at that too. To the Chinese military indirectly.
Okay,
So I think
so
they, yeah, it's being banned like all over the world. And our first agency that banned it here was NASA.
does this fall into the "this is why we can't have nice things" bucket?
Now this is called, why don't we ever recognize a Trojan horse when we see one? Come on, like China, our number one competitor in the world, like
After
send out a,
Canada.
well, yes, I just meant, I should have said, I don't know the right word for not ally.
They're being nicer. They're being 15% nicer to you guys, apparently.
Apparently, but the unfriendly competitors in the world sent out a free, low cost, anybody can download it, no money making for them. You can even self-host it, large language model who could only maybe hurt the companies here for a very little while they incorporated it, or it's a Trojan horse that everyone incorporates and reports back to the Chinese government. I'm going for number two since that's normally their method, right?
What's
So
what's the old saying? If the product is free,
free
if
you are.
then you're the product.
Yes. Like, why isn't that? Why didn't anyone have their first thought, right? Like, the first thought
Well,
might be there might be a Trojan horse. Maybe we should look into it before we say it's okay.
it might be noted that there are free versions of all the American-based software as well, AI
Well,
softwares as well.
that
It
might be
just might
true,
be
but it's
noted.
not, might be nervous, but it's not the, it's quite the same. So anyway, but and just so you know, if you're using the hosted version, really just you don't want to. You really don't want to. You also could be jeopardizing someone around you. They go into your things like your contacts list, and if they can find information, they'll follow through that. That's been also one of the problems with TikTok. So your friends friend could have a sensitive job and they find out information about your friend. Like, just don't, you don't need it. It's not, you don't need it. But just move on to something else.
Okay, speaking of, so I'm gonna move on to yet another story.
Yeah,
And
let's move on to
we're
another
actually, you know
story.
what, we're going through these things a lot faster than I thought we would. The little timing bureaucrat in me is quite happy about this today. So Google searches the AI mode, first look, and details have been leaked. That's, I mean, that's just not, what about Google? If stuff keeps leaking, you're probably pissing your staff off. I mean, like, I don't know
Or
if anybody nice should tell you that or something, but maybe somebody
a
should.
little wet spot over. I'm sorry, that came out wrong. It's meant like water. According to a 9 to 5 Google, AI mode is a persistent place to ask more open-ended exploratory questions. That's Google's description of what it is. Natural evolution of AI overviews. It does already exist, by the way, in labs in a different form. UI tailored to give even greater performance to artificial intelligence capabilities over traditional search results. I just always had the same question, Jim. That's our next story. When they get rid of the websites, what are they going to use? Because they don't have any of this data on their own.
Well,
This is just my thought.
this is why they're breaking major deals with Reuters and Associated Press and people who create content. Next, they're going to be going to the universities and the trade schools. They'll be hoovering up the School of Chocolate and anything to do with Betty Crocker cooking, or any of the great TV chefs of today. They'll go after them too for content agreements. Yeah, that's what
Yeah,
they'll do.
pretty much. But this is always interesting to me how they do that. So basically, this is an enhancement of using AI, basically AI voice, would you say? It's
Well,
called that.
this is using AI to try to push in results as much as possible. Now talk is, and you can, like, you type your chat, or using vocal model, speak your chat too. Both will get the response. That you can
But then
type into a
again,
window for a chatbot or speak to it.
but you get the response and then it summarizes and the site doesn't get a click and then the site can't function anymore and it goes away and then what do they do?
But then they find another place to get information from. That's
Yeah,
what's
but
going to happen. Whether it's a place that's beneficial to webmasters or not, they don't care. Whether it's a place that actually helps consumers, they don't care, as long as the consumers think it's helpful enough that they give them their eyeballs. Is it a zero-sum game that will probably get them in deep trouble 2 or 3 years from now? Yeah.
yeah,
But they
because
don't care.
they have two quarters of consecutive decline. You would think that they might reconsider that maybe all this AI stuff and search isn't helping them as much as they think it is. But anyway,
Well,
I'm
no,
about to
the, what
see
the
you.
what the problem is, their decline is coming to people who they think are starting to eat their lunch, so they're trying to outdo those people.
Except they're not. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it's a terrible dilemma for them to be in, especially since it was partially their work that started this Cold War that they themselves are being buried by. They didn't mean to start it. That they actually, I think, would have waited a couple of years till they had figured more of it out before firing the first salvo. But yeah, now we're here. And people are making decisions rapidly without really thinking through how to say this. They're making decisions in reaction rather than an aspiration.
Oh yeah, very true. Yeah, they used to be Google. We've talked about this before. Google forgot that they are the leader in an industry and started playing follower. So they're not innovating; they're just trying to catch up. But innovating would be take what people have done, find out what people don't like, and make something better. But we just keep adding AI stuff to search, and people don't seem to be responding to it with love. Otherwise, they wouldn't have lost results because we know that the flow from Google didn't go straight to. From our stories a couple weeks ago, didn't go to like GPTs. It went kind of a little bit everywhere.
Well, actually,
So
I had a problem with that story because SimpleWeb, the people we were quoting, don't look at AIs. they couldn't have quoted anything to do with
No,
AIs
the
because
story
they
we're about
don't.
to do on AI clicks says the same thing. So.
Well, this says actually it says that a hell of a lot of people are using AIs, and that's taking away from click-through rates and organic. Paid, on the other hand, different story, which I found really weird, but it does go with the market is rewarding Google for what it's doing. Its revenues were up 10%.
Yeah. I can't really think ad revenue is up because they're rewarding or people just don't know what's an ad anymore. Every time their ad
I
revenue.
think ad revenues are up because people are finding that that's a way to connect with customers at Google, and they're spending the money there because that's what's paying them back. Honestly, that's what I think's happening. I don't gotta like it, but
No, I'm just saying, I think that.
market behavior tends to be rational
I think that
overall.
the market is because that they can't distinguish anymore, so they're clicking on ads all the time, not knowing that they're actually clicking on an ad. A lot of those product search items are not really ad obvious. So
Well,
we'll see. They always make more money even when they lose search, which never makes sense.
Google's Q4 2024 earnings were reported last night. Its ad revenues hit $72.46 billion, up 10.6% from last quarter's $65.52 billion, which was in and of itself a staggering figure. Its revenue was up 12%. Overall profit up 30.7%. Search revenue, what specifically, is up 12.5%.
But on weirdly, stock was down 9% in after hours trading.
Well, yeah, because everyone else is looking better while doing it. Google's making the
Well,
money, and everyone else is looking better while doing it. That's
I'm
it.
just saying it's a weird thing. They lost share, they're down in the stock price, but somehow they're up in ad revenue. I think it's because they hide the ads, but that's just me.
Well,
So we have any data on that?
the market, like the just the business market, tends to be rational. The stock market, not necessarily so
Oh,
much.
not at all.
That
Not so
tends to
much
be
like that.
very emotional.
Yeah,
And
the
again,
top people that, yeah, in that field will tell you that.
Google is Gerald Ford falling off a stair ramp trying to get on an airplane.
I
The
wonder how many people
airplane's
are
perfectly
automated.
good. The stair ramp was perfectly good. All
Wonder
of the
how many people.
tools were perfectly good. They were just being used badly.
I wonder how many people in our audience know that reference.
Oh, it's true. I'm very old. I apologize. You know what? This is maybe a more apt reference. Google is Joe Biden having a bad day after in a debate after staying awake for 48 hours. All the stuff is actually good. It just isn't functioning well at that moment. Anyway.
Speaking of making mistakes, by the way, Google fumbled its big Gemini AI ad. Did you see this one?
How do you
Did you
screw
get a
this
chance
up?
to? It's like, because they used their own large language model.
Please, you love this story. How
I
all I can
do,
say
because
is,
it's
how do you
funny.
screw this up?
I love irony, right? Especially when it's big companies
So
like the
what
Microsoft.
happened here? What did Google do? This is a big money. Well, for Google, it's chump change, but for the rest of us, it's big money.
Because what Google did is it created its ad, right? And
For Super Bowl
for
Sunday.
yeah, for Gemini. And they put in text from Gemini and it said that Gouda is the most popular cheese in the world. Which sounds a little odd, because it is odd, because it's not true, it's not factual, and no one caught it until after they made the ad. So they had to go back and remake the ad. And it's just kind of funny because those ads are very expensive to make. It was just kind of funny that they used their own large language model and didn't check before they put it on air.
That
So yes.
is truly phenomenal.
And also a reminder to people, because we've seen an increase in people using it for search. These are not search engines. They're still just predictive text. So be careful. Make sure you know what it's talking about so you don't do something like tell everybody that Gouda is the number one cheese in the world.
But Gouda's pretty good. Don't don't don't
Gouda's good. I have it right here, right next to me
don't
right
get
now. I'm
us
eating Gouda
wrong.
today. I'm eating Gouda right now.
But I'm
Well,
pretty sure cheddar is the most popular cheese in the world.
maybe.
I'm probably wrong on that too, by the way. Like, I'm
Yeah,
probably
because
way off. I'm not looking.
I don't know if the European countries are big on cheddar. I don't know. They could be, though. So, anyway, that
They're
was a
huge
funny
on it. You
story.
know those Europeans, those cheddar-eating Europeans. They love it. They love the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just while we're on AI issues, one other thing. Whoopi Goldberg wanted to just put out a warning that there's a phony weight loss ad using AI version of her likeness for the ad. So she had lost weight on Moderna, which is a one of the GPL, I think it's GPL, GP1 drugs, and someone created an ad out of that. So be careful when you see things, make sure that they're real, make sure they come from a trusted source, because we've this isn't the first time this has happened. We've had other times where politicians were selling things or whoever it happened to be. So yeah, so Whoopi Goldberg is not in an ad telling you to buy whatever the product is. They don't say what the product is.
Well, not Whoopi approved.
That would be approved. Not at all.
Yeah. Also, not Whoopi approved, mostly because she doesn't understand the story. Google AI overviews are killing click-through rates, which I think a lot of SEOs sadly understand all too well.
Wow. Not shocked at all.
And not shocking at all. And but you know what? I got it, and I'm going to admit it myself. AI overviews has saved me a number of clicks. Even when, and this is the hard thing. So you do the search, you do the AI overview, your common sense clicks in, and you're like, you know what? This sounds right, but I think I'm going to verify it. So, you highlight the area that the thing that you're interested in, and you right click and you hit search on Google, and you search for it, and the stuff that comes up isn't what's referenced in the AI overviews. It's very frustrating sometimes.
It is very frustrating. So
So, but
apparently,
I did click on the stuff that I checked on to check the veracity of the stuff that AI Overview produced. So not only did they not get the click through for the text that I first read, which was in fact true, I went to another page, the one that I verified the true text on, and they got the click through.
well, that's good.
It's not fair.
But apparently, according to Sierra Interactive, which is Will Reynolds in SEO Roundtable, they created a chart of paid and organic CTR trends over 12 months, and they looked at 10,000 keywords in the top 20 positions with informational intent. And they found that, let's just take an example, January 2025, if it was organic and there was no CTR AI shown, you got about a 4% click-through. And if there was a AI shown with the ability to click, not just text, 0.64%. Paid CTR with the AI not shown, 17%. I'm rounding these up and down. And paid with AI shown, 6.5%. That's a massive decline. All the ones, by the way, that every month that they did for the organic with a AI being shown, the CTR dropped below one. It was at 1.25% or below, and most were below 1%. Whereas without the AI overview, they range from about, I'm just doing an eye gaze here, so it might be a little off, but about 2.5% to about 4%. So if you have a lot of clicks, that's a massive number of visitors you're losing.
And by the way, if you only have a 2% click-through rate in the best of circumstances, check the titles. Honestly, check your titles and the
Oh yeah,
descriptions. That seems
definitely.
that because that 4%, I'm like, oh well, that seems kind of low. In the best of circumstances, that seems kind of shitty.
Well, they have all those other things in there too now, not
But
just,
yeah. Oh, I know, and I'm being facetious because that's an average of X number of sites they were checking. So there's going to be highs, there's going to be lows.
And on your ads, it can be almost a 17, 15 to 20% difference.
That was
A lot.
amazing too. Yeah, like going
Yeah.
from 17 down to six.
Yeah.
So the AI overviews just push. It's like something that comes and sucks the oxygen out of the room, and suddenly all the ads, and especially the 10 blue links, are so far down below the fold they may as well be like several fathoms underwater, right?
Yeah, and also when you see a decline of clicks on your site, like you're getting normal traffic, but you're seeing a decline in click-through rates from the search results. One, like Jim said, always check your titles. A lot of times, someone wrote your titles and like half the title's not showing, so you're not encouraging the click, or your descriptions are poor and you're not encouraging the click. But if that title's been there like that for a while, description's been like for a while, and you just suddenly see them dropping, check for the presence of AI overviews, because they may be what's stealing your traffic, just like we all predicted before they came out.
Oh, indeed.
Right.
And I'm sorry. I was accepting that AI overview was already messing their traffic, and I just thought
Yeah.
that 4% click-through rate seems just feels so.
Yes,
That's probably just a little
people.
bit of SEO braggadocio there or something. I
Yes,
don't know.
people. By the way, a little solution if you want to be in the AI overviews, they are taking mostly from well SEO sites,
Yeah.
and the usually in the top 10 or 20, not always, it depends on the report. Sometimes it's 90% from the top 20, sometimes 50% from the top 20, probably just depends on what you're looking at. But it really does help your click-through rates. Also, if you can't have them cross your, do your site, because we know like Condé Nast was getting almost DDoSed by the crawlers from OpenAI. What you could do is just create a secondary, not site, like you can block it from Google and have the AI crawlers come in and just put all your important company information on there, or your main product information, and they'll get all of it without annihilating your site. So it's just a, not the best option, but it's at least an option. So, and block it from Google. You don't want two of your sites showing, but you can give one to the AI people.
I'll just use a render server. Just give them another server to hit. It's a major change. As Christine said, your best chance for getting your content as part of the AI answer, generate the AI generated answer is to have really tight crawlable content, good SEO, make sure that it's really easy for the LLM's crawler to have found it, and then make sure that it's really easy for Google to do, or Google or the or Bing or whatever to do its second verification while it's sussing out whether its composed answer itself is correct. But damn, it's seeing these numbers is so discouraging, eh?
It really is. And then Semrush came out with a report on 80 million clickstream records through, there's a way to look at it. Gosh, the name just is in my mind. I can't see it in the article right now. There's an open stream of data that you can look for the clickstream. And they're seeing like an increase as GPT is a referrer, but I just want to keep people's expectations in line. They're almost 300 million. I know 200 million active websites, and right now 30,000 unique domains are getting referrals from GPT and what they saw in this study. So that's not a lot. I mean, it's some, but we got 200 million. That still leaves 1,970,000 that are not getting referrals from there. So it doesn't hurt to be in there, but it's not should not be your main focus off your SEO.
So,
Your
okay.
SEO is what will get you in there. So.
So the other day I was literally sitting around thinking about AI overviews and two of the two unique clients I have. One of them sells recreation fairly expensive recreational products, and they're incredibly popular in their niche. I started doing Google searches in one browser, and then in a totally separate browser, started doing ChatGPT and Perplexity searches. And every time I tried to rule myself out, forget you know me, forget my history, all that sort of stuff in the chatbot searches. I tried to make it as neutral as possible, and I found that my clients were being referenced very frequently by the chatbots. But I'm still seeing the declining clicks, even though I know for a fact that my client's content is being cited.
Yeah, because the difference between, let's say, the featured snippet, right? Which is, I didn't love it first. I never really loved it, but I mean, at least it was like a quick piece of information from that website with a direct link to that website.
Well, and
So,
that's the key phrase right there, direct link to that website.
yeah, and from it. So the AI overview gives people so much information that they probably don't need to go further. So, and I do, I always want more details. But a lot of people, are going to go, oh, I got what I needed, and they're going to keep going. Whether it's right or not, we don't know, but they think it's right. And so I think that's why you see the decline. They didn't see the featured snippets because it's not taking up much more room right now than the featured snippet. But it's just that the featured snippet couldn't be expanded. So you didn't get so much information you didn't need to click. And it was direct, so it went to a specific website where here you might get, 10 links, or there's sometimes in Bing you can open up, or maybe it's Google, you can see like every document it used, which can be 90 or 100 of them. So there's not that direct to site
Well,
traffic.
so
So
my first response to what you said as an SEO and a marketer is a lot of that traffic I didn't care about in the first place. They were just looking for information. They weren't going to buy something. And if they're just looking for information, I don't care if they read a brochure. I don't care
yeah, I
where,
disagree.
I don't care, but then you think They mightn't be buying something today. Maybe they're just looking to see how long something is to see if they need to buy a new garment to wear with it or new shoes or whatever. I don't know. If they need other accessories. Maybe they're looking for information to complete part of the questions they have to answer some of the questions they need answered before making the purchase. Every time they click on my client's site, even if it's just looking for information, it's a branding exercise.
Exactly. It brings the brand to mind. And if you have good content, you're answering their questions, then they're like, oh yeah, I wanted to get, oh yeah, I remember that site.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
remember those
Okay.
guys. I
Another,
definitely want to
yeah.
buy from them.
Exactly. And if you feel like you trust them because their site's, really well done. And that's why when I worked at Zappos, I was embedded there. Zappos was an amazingly successful brand. They did like all their own content. They rewrote all their product descriptions. They had photo shoots and they created, like special guides for clothing and adventures and all that stuff, right? That didn't sell anything, but it got people to the site. And Zappos was expensive. Zappos refused to do sales for a very long time, but their customer service, the forward, the no, no charge on shipping back and forward and backwards. And then on top of that, they just were a fun brand that gave like this fun experience on their site that just wasn't directed to selling people. People love their brand, so they pay those prices.
Given that brand is what is actually memorable, all that stuff that Morty is saying right now, Morty Orberstein, it's just, I mean, it's ringing truer and truer. This is a brand conscious world that we're living in, more so in that you creating the brand experience by giving the good information that gets the good click, even if it's the first of seven clicks that lead to the purchase decision. That's been taken from you. That's a session of clicks, but branding opportunities, they still abound. There's ways to make your company, business, sole proprietorship well known. But it's really, 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 really hard work in a increasingly competitive environment.
Yeah, it really is. And I think it's that brand experience and getting people to your site. And the problem is AI overviews interfere with that. There's a summary of something. So you get a chance to have that brand experience, which means you probably, and you also discover things by going to sites, right? It's like, I didn't know they did that. I didn't know they sold that. Oh, that's cool. I need that, or I like that. I didn't know I need it, but now I do,
Yeah.
right? Once you get on the site. By just using the AI overviews, you're not getting that depth of information.
It's yeah, the problem, the biggest problem with AI overviews, or with and it's not just AI overviews. I could say the same thing about ChatGPT, or what's being pumped out by Bing Copilot. It's crack. It's bloody crack. It is so addictive. It's so easy. It's just there. You get an answer. Oh my God, you. But then I can expand on that answer. I can expand on and. It just gets
Yeah.
done so fast, and people will sacrifice accuracy for speed.
Yeah, I'm not one of those. I know I'm the rare duck here. I'm not one of those people. I find the continually answering things is kind of annoying after a while, and I want more depth. Like the pattern now of AI driven stuff in my head, like I can hear it now. As soon as I read it, I can hear it, and my brain's like, this is annoying. This is not good content.
So
So,
speaking of not necessarily well, good or original or their own content, remember how last week we reported on Yahoo?
Yahoo.
Well, yeah, Yahoo,
Jim
but
is Canadian,
with
so I'm
AI
saying
in it,
Canadian. Let's
Yahoo?
not say
No, I
Yahoo.
didn't Canadianize it. It's Yahoo with AI after the H, Yahoo. You see, it's a joke that looks better in print.
Yes, you
Not
can only
necessarily so
spell
good for radio.
Canadian. Having said that word.
Well, Yahoo was Yahoo with AI, its own AI features. But as it turns out, those features may not be Yahoo's itself. They may be coming from Microsoft Copilot, which means they're looping back to OpenAI somehow. So.
Yeah, because like often the other brands that used to be their own everything, they use a third party tool to add to the experience. And we know that Bing uses obviously uses OpenAI because that's what they bought them for. They didn't buy them, but they bought all the stock for.
Okay, jumping to the next story. Do you remember that horrible, terrifying statical that more content has been created and released to the internet since November 2022, when ChatGPT was first introduced to the public, than the totality of everything that had ever been written before that for the beginning of
That was
human
scary.
society?
Terrifying.
Okay, so Gary Ives from Google came
Yeesh.
out with a rather obvious statement, given that there's been more content created in the last 2.5 years than there has ever been content created in the entirety of human existence. I don't think most of the content created in the last 2.5 years was created by people.
No, definitely not.
99% sure it ain't.
No, 90% sure it's not.
So Google, which is, of course, being completely buried under generative content that wouldn't have existed had it not been for AI systems, is begging people. Well, not begging. They're not begging. They're giving you good advice. Focus on originality. Originality, according to Gary Ease, originality is something we're going to be focusing on this year. That's what's going to be important. And that is how he was quoted. It's a very original thing of him to say.
Yes, and let yeah, and then we can add the companion story to this. There have been things added to the quality raters guidelines. Now, remember, quality raters guidelines are not an SEO guide. It's just a guide for quality raters to rate search result changes from engineers.
But it
It
tells
doesn't
us what
mean
Google wants to see through
on
the
a good
eyes of its
site.
quality raters.
Yeah, so because sometimes people mistake things. They're like, oh, they say every page has to have an author, so we must have authors. And then Google's like, it can just be the site, it's just the author too. So you have to be careful about reading these things. But when it comes to what they're writing about generative AI is one section, and then we're going to talk about recipes in the next. This is stuff they've actually put in content guidelines, so are part of SEO. So just I think the most significant passage here is they write, it's too much to go over here. There's like a ton here. You really want to read it. It's
Just read
generative
the stuff
AI
in red.
mentioned in
Honestly, at the bottom,
Google's.
the stuff in red says it all.
I was looking at the article. pages and websites made up of content created at scale with no original content or added values for users should be rated lowest, no matter how they are created, even if you're unsure of the method of creation, whether or not the page is created using generative AI tool, you should still give it the lowest rating when you strongly suspect scaled content abuse. And in the new guidelines, they actually, because they always say scale content, they never tell people what that means. But in the new guidelines, they actually do tell you what scale content is, what it means. And examples of scale content abuse include using automated tools, generative AI or otherwise, is a low effort way to produce many pages that add little to no value for website visitors as compared to other pages on the web on the same topic. Remember, we have that patent on the entity comparison in a topical vector, meaning they can compare the entities used nouns used in documents that are in a similar topic space, right? So that's basically what was said in the last part there. And then pages and websites that we just read made up with original content. So basically, if you're just pumping out AI straight content, that's a no-no in the Google content guidelines from Google themselves, and now it's in the Quality Raters Guide.
So let me put this a different way. If you think that creating 25 blog posts on pickling methods is a good way of selling your cucumbers, and you create these posts overnight and you release them to the web, Google says that's cool, but you better write them yourself. Don't get AI to write them for you, because that's probably craptastic content. If you can't make those 25 pages yourself, probably ain't worth having them up there.
Exactly.
I'm paraphrasing, of course, and Google doesn't care about your cucumbers.
But it definitely goes with the originality comment, because one thing that generative AI cannot do is it cannot go outside its training. So when Google looks at the entities in a topical vector between documents, the ones that are AI created will all pretty much have the same entities as everybody else, right? But not specifically like this entity A, B, C, but just general entities. But if you're writing, like Jim once wrote for me, for a client about plastic bags, which should be an incredibly boring topic, and yet Jim made it very interesting. And that is what you call originality. And originality and depth and breadth are not possible with the current LLM models. So if you're using straight content like that, Google doesn't get anything more from it. You're like at the party and the guy's just repeating what everybody else in the room said to you. Like after a couple of minutes, you'd be like, I don't want to talk to you anymore. You're boring.
You know,
So,
'cause you, just to be honest here, just to be humbly honest, you pull out honest to God what was one of the greatest pieces of writing I ever did, because you try to make plastic bags interesting, and I know I succeeded there, and I feel really good about it. But I had this one contract once where I had literally, I told you about the bathtub contract once, right? 80 different brands of bathtub, some of which made two or three different lines underneath their brand name. So we're talking literally hundreds of different
Oh my
bathtubs.
gosh.
How do
Oh,
you
I
write
just
something original about bathtubs?
minute you would.
No, after 20, I went crazy. I lost it. I couldn't do
You have a
it.
team of writers. You have a team. Zappos wrote it about every product that they did. They had a team of writers that rewrote every product description to
It
make sure it was
was.
original. And you know what they did? They ranked number one for shoes.
I was freestyling this, and we did pretty good on bathtubs, but
I'm sure you
it
did.
was, I'm
That's
telling you,
why.
if I
That's the
had AI
brain.
at the time, a lot of that would have been AI enhanced content, I promise you,
And
because that was crazy.
there are some tools like Rivalflow, which goes out there and compares to your competitor, and they'll bring back like a paragraph AI content to add because you're not talking about it. But that's not the same thing. We're talking about majority AI content, straight AI content. You edited a little bit AI content, or content that has to have originality and depth and breadth to it. Like anything, your money, your life, depth, medical, financial, even like
So,
anything that sells something because that's a credit card transaction.
by the way, if we are talking about content, creating content at scale, this is a perfect product placement moment. We have the sponsor. The name is Audience Key. And if you are creating content, Audience Key is a savior for you. It will give you the best guidelines, the best connections between words on your page and other pages in your websites. Audience Key is a godsend tool. Check it out at audiencekey.com if you are a content creator, and you can send thank you drinks either to myself or to Audience Key's owner, Tom.
And you can also, if you have the Shopify problem where you can't put in categories and topics and proper URL structure, or you want a static HTML page to be served to users, they also can solve that issue for you too. So they're kind of all in one tool that does all this amazing stuff, and they're not very expensive comparatively.
There you go. Audience Key is well worth the mention, and definitely well worth checking out. Okay, where do you want to go next, Christine? We are cutting through pretty quickly, but we're also a little cutting close to time. Where do you want to go?
Well, we have some stories to tell at the end, so we wait for that. Oh, we can just mention here, by the way, because we just talked about it all. Google is writing popular product descriptions with generative AI. I read some of them. It's funny how Google's like, we don't like low quality content, and then Google creates low quality content. I went and looked at one, and they have one an example here for Nike, and it's just like says Nike shoes are known for their quality and connection to sports and athletic lifestyles. Nike is a popular brand and generally seen as premium. It is known for innovation and marketing. Did I need that in the search results under the products? I don't think so. Did it added anything for you, Jim?
No, I don't
Yeah,
think I need to know
just
much more
waste.
about Nike shows after reading that. I'm going to go check the Adidas site, to be honest.
Exactly. Like these are it's bad content. It's just bad content. And I don't think it needs to take up any more space. They have so many things in the results right now. It's insane. Like you see, I can't even find anything anymore. There's so much stuff there. Let me just check and make sure we didn't miss anything really big that we needed to. To make sure we talked about that. I think we covered all that. Should I sing a little bit here? Take up the space. Oh, we did miss one big one. We did miss one big one. Two big
Which
ones.
one? Embedded resources? I like this one, actually.
No. Way back up at the top. So, real quick, Apple had an emergency request in to halt Google's antitrust remedy. So Google was found to be antitrust, and they're going to come up with a remedy for that. I don't know the date it keeps moving, so when it comes out, we will definitely report on it. But Apple said that they would suffer not being able to have Google as their primary, the primary search engine in their products. And so, because they don't have their own search engine, and Apple gets paid $20 billion a year to make Google the search engine. And
And
that's
that's actually one of the reasons Google's in the antitrust docket in the first place.
exactly.
So Apple's
But
like,
the
hey, don't prosecute them. Let them do what you're prosecuting them for.
exactly. And the Department of Justice. It's considering even breaking up parts of Google, but the judge was not swayed. The judge was like, "Dude, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but dude, preserving the status quo by granting a stay as Apple urges would only perpetuate this unlawful activity and is therefore contrary to the public interest, Judge Mehta said in his ruling. So they were denied. And
And
for people know, money, okay.
Apple's is like, oh, but our money.
People who don't know, monopolies are not illegal themselves, but you can be an illegal monopoly by making it so other people can't compete. And that's what they accused Google of, proved in court, and now Google is going to have consequences for it. And they have like four other cases that have already been decided similarly and more on the way. Then there's another one that I really hate to report because it's capitulation. And very, very disappointed to hear this one today. But Google has rolled back its DEI efforts, including hiring goals, and it has renamed the person in charge of that, the per manager of people operations. So people know there's like this a lot of politicization of DEI. All DEI means is you make a seat at the table for people who kind of usually forget to give one. You have to be qualified, right? Let's say your company doesn't have DEI programs and somebody's has a handicap and they need special accommodation. They may get overlooked in the job, when they're hiring for people, right? Or in their own jobs as they work. So DEI initiatives allow the people that you normally wouldn't have at the party. Maybe they're not people you normally hang out with or you don't know, have a seat at the table and they're perfectly 100% qualified.
Well,
That's a whole,
you know what's
they're
more than
qualified for
letting
that.
somebody with a disability have a seat at the table, or letting a black person have a seat at the table, or letting a
I was going
gay
to say, like,
person? You know
giving
what's
the
more
opportunity.
bigger than that? That black person represents 16 to 18% of
Yes.
the population, and that's a huge market. They
Well,
have
that's just, yeah.
specific ideas, specific ways of seeing things. They have specific experiences, a lot of which are steeped in institutional and systemic racism. And they have ways of dealing with that, that if you are selling product, you gotta know. You gotta know the language. You gotta know what people are thinking. You gotta know what people are feeling and what their life experiences are if you want to communicate with them. Cutting yourselves off of from somebody in a wheelchair. My partner Shauna has some severe disabilities. When we go out, we often take a wheelchair. Now I'm 5'9". I don't know what it's like to be 4 feet tall, as Shauna is when she's in the wheelchair. It's terrifying for her. We live in a very big city, 6 million people. We go around and she's jostled by people who don't even know that she's there.
Yeah,
That's an
very true.
experience that you need to know if you're selling to people in her shoes, so to
And
speak.
let's say also, Zappos was really good at this. I didn't agree with everything Tony Hsieh did internally, but there's some a lot of things he did very, very well. And they found that people were searching for one shoe. They couldn't find out why people were looking for one shoe or one sleeve or that kind of, and they found out people that, especially veterans who had been amput had a leg amputated or an arm amputated. They're looking for products that they could use, right? Like they can't tie their shoes because they don't have the hands anymore, right? Or they don't have a leg and they don't want to buy two shoes. So what Zappos did is it got people from different, areas that were searching for product, brought them in, created a whole division. And you can still go on the website today and find that they have a whole division devoted to people who only need one shoe. And they can buy two shoes, but two rights or two lefts. And that's they wouldn't know that if they hadn't been listening one to their customers, but also internally. And if you they find that companies that do focus on DEI do much better. They're more successful, generally speaking, in studies that have been done. So this
Costco is a great
could
example, by the way. Costco continues to focus on serving the markets it's in and getting advice from people who understand those markets, which sounds kind of woke to me, but that's what good business is. It doesn't sound kind of woke is a good thing. I'm a woke person. I love knowing about other people. It's very important.
Well, yeah, and in Google, I will give them. There is one I want to make sure this is reported accurately. They will keep their 16 groups supporting communities from trans to gender nonconforming, Aboriginal, Indigenous groups, et cetera, but they will no longer have diversity hiring goals. And why that is a problem, and you don't want to do it in your company because again, DEI companies do better because they have perspectives from all over, your market, or just better working environments, right? But is we tend, I'm a sociologist by education, we tend to hire those people that we know are, in our circles, right? Who comes to you and goes, hey, I got a job and we got a poster, but I'll give you the job if you apply, right? We often in certain parts of the world, like my community is very diverse. It'd be very hard to like have only one group of people and hang out with them. But there are a lot of places in the country where you only hang out with people like you for the most part. And that means that you're not intending to like overlook people. You may not even realize you're overlooking people, but they're overlooked because they're not in your immediate vicinity. You're not seeing, talking to them on a daily basis. So there's a lot of reasons that DEI is a positive, and it's never about putting people at the table to replace somebody else who is qualified. It's to make sure there are seats at the table for everyone who's qualified. I'm gonna move on, but I wanted to say that because I was very disappointed in
Well,
Google today.
Google hired or I'm sorry, Google fired one of its lead diversity critics, Timit Gamber. And she was studying how AI almost always got black perspectives wrong. I mean, that in some of Google's original image creation programs couldn't deal with black skin tones. And she was looking at why AI constantly misunderstands, misquotes, or gives misinformation about the black experience. Which is because so much it comes down to so much of the web was created by the European and Anglo community. Google fired her for that report.
Yes, they did, unfortunately.
I mean, she was highly critical of Google and their way of dealing with the systemic bias of the web itself. And that is a systemic bias. And that's not to say that that was necessarily an evil or bad thing, because it wasn't intentional. It just happened that way. But it does turn out that now the system itself has a bias built into it. That was enough to get her fired.
Yeah, based on training data. And prior to that, Google was much more open to the criticism. So that was unfortunate. She has started her own AI. The right word for it right now. My brain's a little fried. But anyway, AI, making sure AI follows proper guidelines in those things, in those areas. I think we got some fast ones we can get through because I know we have to go here pretty soon. Embedded resources or cache for a while. You want to take that one, Jim? Because you
I'm
loved it so
sorry,
much.
where was this?
Embedded
Oh
resources,
my goodness,
cache.
okay. So if you embed a resource like okay, so say you have a YouTube video that you've embedded on the page. Google knows that that video probably isn't going to change that often. Heaven knows you've got your YouTube video embedded on the page, or an audio clip or something. That media probably isn't changing a lot. So Google's going to cache it. So think about when Google starts crawling pages over and over and over again, and has to come back, look at your page, and then verify that the metadata they got equates with what's really on the page. If you're terrified that your media-heavy pages aren't being looked at, well, there's a really good chance that Google has cached that and doesn't actually have to crawl it. It just knows it's there and that it's solid, and that as long as no changes have been made, Google's probably going to be cool with it.
Yes, and they'll probably leave it there for a while. So things aren't really, aren't, it's sticking around when you don't mean them to. That's fine.
I had this one client who had a 170,000 product pages, each of which had a video in it, and they were terrified of this. So, relief.
Oh, next thing we need to talk about real quick is Google Ads is checking your landing page to see how your navigation is, basically, not your site navigation, but if you say like this ad is for a login and it goes to your page and it does not see a login on the page in the render experience, they will probably not serve that ad. Or if they do serve that, it would give you very low volume. So you do have to make sure that your ads are landing are equaling your landing pages
So
and that they're getting.
veracity is part of the quality score. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, you just
Yeah.
think, right?
Yeah. But I'm sure people do it all the time and go, oh, they'll just get there in a couple steps. And Google's like, no. And there's illustrations on Search Engine Roundtable. Google Ads updates take into account quality of user navigation experience. So make sure you're matching up and make sure if you say login, there is a login on that page. Let's go real quick. Google asks for me calls businesses for cost for you. This is one where they're using their AI models to make phone calls to find out costs or something is still it's still there. You can say like ask for me, it's in the search results, get started and it'll say, what services do you need? And it'll say, I need an oil change. And then you say next, and it'll go, or Medicare, what type of Medicare? Basic Medicare. And then it'll say next and it'll follow through for you. I'm just not
Google, I need
comfortable
a quote
having.
on a, I need a quote on a 6 foot hole.
Yeah, it's only in Search Labs right now, but and you can check in on yourself. I just I don't know, it feels a little disrespectful actually to like call a business that you interact with and give them a bot. Hope the bot works. Maybe not. Doesn't matter to me.
Well, you
So.
know, if an enterprising listener will, of course, start making up bots to answer these calls. I mean,
Possibly, but
why should your
yeah.
employee have to answer a call from Googlebot, from a Googlebot set? Why not have your own AI answer that and just get some whole dragon eating its own tail sort of thing going?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you could try it in labs, you know. I might give it a try once to see how it works for clients, but I'm not loving the idea. So then we'll move on to Google Test Review Carousels and Blocks for Product Queries. Really pretty much what it's I said, should we add anything else to that?
Well, I mean,
I don't know the title.
reviews are really important. You know the thing I'm going to add? It's getting increasingly important to have a review monitoring service working on your behalf. If you have a large website, you have a lot of reviews. Google is being so exacting about what it wants to see in reviews now. And there's so many little, there's 6 or 7 unique rules around what Google wants to see in reviews. And if you get one of them wrong, you might risk losing 2 or 3 placements to competitive websites. There's several companies out there. Well, I'm going to name one just because I know it off the top of my head, called Yotpo, that basically are a review verification and deployment service for you. And if you have a larger website, I'm very strongly recommending getting a third party to deal with your reviews for you, because it's so technical now and it's so
But
important.
don't call your reviews. Don't go through and just pick the good ones because Google has explicitly forbidden that.
Oh,
You
yeah,
need to turn it. Yeah, to come
Yotpo
off
would
of
never
that.
let you do that, by the way, because their integrity is important to them.
Yeah,
Many of these
yeah.
review monitoring and facilitation services, they're really selling integrity services. That's what their real sell is, so they won't screw with the veracity of the reviews.
No, but sometimes there are services that'll go, do you want to accept this review? You say no, review just disappears. So you don't do that. That's very bad. Google's also testing a review section, like where there'll be a tab at the top of the reviews. So, okay, let's see if we get through these last couple. Google Business Profiles feature Gains Product Studio. So basically, they're adding a studio to Google Business Profiles so you can put your products up there so they look more professional, like with a background. And you just put it in a form, you tell them what you're trying to create. And with the URL, and then put the photo there, and they'll add some background with AI. Seems like it could be helpful, especially
It could be.
if you're a small business and you don't have a lot of, creative ability or
That sounds
creative
like one of
needs.
those things you want to do and experiment with quite a bit so you can get it right. And then once you do get
Yeah.
it right, you'll have this incredible time saver.
Exactly. Or you might just generate your own AI review, your AI backgrounds and put your products on them. And Google is also testing AI-generated background images for shopping ads. So kind of the same idea. They'll make a studio and they'll put an AI image behind your actual product. And I don't know though if you can opt out of it, if you're opt into it. I don't know if it goes one by one or not. Did you see that? I don't
I did not, and
remember.
I don't know. Now, I just want to warn tourists from the Midwest, if you see ads using tigers walking down streets of New York, and lots and lots and lots of them, it doesn't mean that there are actually tigers walking down the streets of New York. Everyone
There's
knows they
not.
have alligators, not tigers.
Oh, that's right.
That's
I
right, in
was
the
scared of that
sewers.
when I was a kid. I used to get back. I'm from New York originally, and I used to go back all the time to visit my grandmother, and we'd stay at my mom's friend's house. And I was always scared of a snake or an alligator coming up the toilet because you'd always hear about that when you went to New York. You're
Oh,
like,
we got polar bears in ours. You should see what they do to the alligators. It's horrible.
it's just people in the city would buy like exotic pets, right? And they would let them go. And they would sometimes find their way into the system, but it was like very like rare. Nobody's butt got bit and like, but as a kid, I was like, can the snake come up? Alligator come up and bite my butt. So that was a kid brain.
Oh, no,
Anyway,
I mean,
so.
not really. I mean, I grew up in the 70s after Jaws was released, and people were literally
Ooh.
afraid to get in swimming pools.
That's true.
So,
That is very true. By the way, we forgot to mention one of our sponsors today. I mentioned Audience Key, but we did forget to mention Wix Studio. And we're very honored to have them as one of our sponsors.
we did mention Morty, though, so
We
that's
did.
getting close to hope.
Close. It's almost there.
Okay, we've gone through a week's worth of stories, and we haven't even scratched the surface because so much happened this week. Friends, we live in incredibly interesting and changing times. I think it's really important to remember and value where we came from, and why we came from there, and why that was important to us. Stay vigilant, stay well, rank well. On behalf of Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. You've been listening to Webcology recorded live to podcast on the 6th of February, 2025, for WMR.FM. We're going to be back next week. The world might change entirely by this time next week. Who the hell knows?
We can pretty much be assured of that. Which way, we don't know. But it will not be the same world next week. No.
But most importantly, stay well. Stay vigilant, rank well, be great with your clients, love each other, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.